The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy Monday. It is June 24th. Join the conversation at 770-5633, 770-KBD. 58 degrees. We're going to see, low 90s, then maybe about 95, 96 tomorrow. Then we start cooling down to the 80s, low 80s or so Thursday, Friday, you know, that sort of thing. So a little up and down. But I am going to have Steve Malloy on. And, of course, he's from the Energy and Environmental Institute. He's like their senior fellow there and also the founder of junkscience.com. Because, you know, every time it gets hot, we are conditioned now that it's never been hotter or more dangerous. Heat domes, bomb cyclones. You know, it's really quite interesting how drama has been injected in everything involving weather and climate. And so we'll talk with Steve about that here a little bit. And I'm not going to worry too much about it. Although, yeah, it's a little warmer than maybe normal for this early part of summer, but it's not unheard of. You look in the weather records and it's like, yeah, it happened. And it kind of happened routinely. You know, some summers are a little hotter than others. Other ones are not. We've got more cosmic rays. We've got all sorts of things going on. All right. So we'll have that. By the way, former President Trump, hopefully the next President Trump will be, well, I guess he has announced that he has picked a vice presidential candidate. I'll be really curious to find out what it is. He's not going to do it until the GOP convention. And you know, like I said, I asked Rick Manning last Friday, of all the people who were there, who probably gives him the best bang for the buck? And you got to figure it's a pretty tough job because you need to help President Trump, but yet you can't be too flashy or outlandish. You can't outshine the boss. You can't do that, right? And yet you don't want someone to turn coat on you like Mike Pence did, in my opinion. At least didn't seem to have a lot of curiosity about the election issues. It's kind of the way I see that. But I don't know. I was reading some financial blogger over the weekend, and he's picking Tulsi Gabbard. And I'm going, Tulsi Gabbard? And other people are going, oh, yeah, Tulsi Gabbard. You know, she's, attractive and this and that. And she'll help with women. And wait a minute. She's a leftist. I mean, she says some nice things. I do get astounded sometimes on conservatives that someone will say a few nice things that are at least common sense and supporting your point of view, and then all of a sudden, well, it's like, remember the Bobby Kennedy, how many Republicans were jumping on the Bobby Kennedy, the RFK Jr., the RFK vote, you know, that sort of thing. And then the more they find out, oh, he's still really a rabid environmental lawyer at heart. I think, yeah, you know, it's like someone, you can be an ally of someone, or someone can agree with you on an issue or two that doesn't really make you, or make them, I should say, a big friend or someone you'd like to, you know, to have in there as a candidate. Now let's go back to the Tulsi Gabbard. Now, I don't think that President Trump would pick Tulsi Gabbard for one thing. Too attractive, you know, too distracting. You know, I think it is, when I say too distracting, I'm kidding around about that. Okay. But in all seriousness, the issue with Tulsi is that ultimately she is a leftist. She has a lot of at least not unfriendly things to say about some conservative positions. Does not make her a conservative. And the other thing is that whoever President Trump picks to be his VP is automatically really the next president, the next presidential candidate for the GOP 4 years from now. So would you would you vote for Tulsi Gabbard today for president? And I would say no, I wouldn't vote for Tulsi Gabbard for president. I'd like to have her in the cabinet for some particular things. She's a smart person and very reasonable, but still has mostly leftist leanings. Could be part of a solution here or there on some things, but why would I want that person to be automatically the presidential pick 4 years from now? And so we have to remember that. President Trump has to look a little bit long ball because he has 4 years. And frankly, given his age, he may choose not to want to go through the whole 4 years. You just never know. Nobody knows what the future has. Yeah, maybe you're nice and healthy and you make it. And other times you can just trip in the shower and you knock your head and then you're gone. You know, we just never know. So whoever's the vice presidential pick needs to be very carefully chosen, because it will either fill out a Trump term. Doubtful about that, but it could happen, right? You have to look at that to always a possibility, or be the next president 4 years from now, the one that's in the Republican nominee. So if you have a choice, like I said, these people are talking about Tulsi. No, it's not going to be Tulsi. Oh, come on. I don't get some of this stuff. But anyway, we'll have some conversation about that if you wish. Dr. Powers will join me this morning where past meets present. Maybe we'll kick around a little bit of that and more. But we're also going to talk about the history of the Rooster Crow, which is coming up. Always a lot of fun. That's kind of a fun, light bit of history. It's not heavy duty doom and gloom, you know, those sort of things. All right. Some of the other people are going to talk to Steve Malloy, like I mentioned. Listener Gino, you hear Gino. Gino's a good guy, calls in quite often. He's going to be checking in. I scheduled a segment for him at 10 after 7 this morning so he could talk about how you disrupt these Delphi meetings, all of these Oregon kitchen table or the gangrene consensus process, Oregon solutions people in which you have your pink-haired freaks from Portland and Salem that come down here to push everybody toward a predetermined outcome, and you're only a stakeholder if you are agreeing to the predetermined outcome, whether it's removing the dams or going with smart meters or blowing this up or going into the 15-minute prison city, you know, all these kind of things, the transportation, whatever it is. They do the same thing in Oregon all the time. Get you into these, want to break you up into groups. They don't want you actually having testimony. They don't want real public hearings. They want consensus. We all agree that the jet boats have to go, or the dams have to go, or that the critters have to take place, have to be able to live before the humans can. You know, all these sort of things. This is where they come from. And so we need to call the freaks out for what they are, freaks and frauds. And so we'll talk with Gino about his methodology of disrupting these. Because I'll tell you, in the state of Oregon right now, if you're not trying to disrupt and break a few things when it comes to the way the government is run, then you're not really helping all that much. That's why I've been a big fan of Republicans that say no, that vote no, not just, oh, gosh darn it, I have to, I was elected to be a lawmaker, and so I have to vote yes, even if it is a Democrat law. Speaking of which, I'm still getting tales, and it's stuff that I'm kind of talking out of school, that there are still Republicans running in state races around here, even some of the new people coming in. Not the Noah Robinsons. I can assure you that. Not the Noah Robinsons, not the Diane Linthicums of the world, but there are still a bunch of Republicans out there that kind of, I don't know if they fall sway to the Vicki Iverson grift kind of a sort of situation. Well, okay, yeah, we got to get you in. You got to be a Republican. But the first thing is first is that you got to get elected. And the way you get elected is that you promise a bunch of stuff or you talk about stuff that you really can't deliver on. You're going to talk really conservative in your legislative race or your statewide race, whatever the case might be. And then you'll govern like a Democrat and you'll vote with the massive agenda-based Republicans and you'll help Democrats pass bills. And our job as electors as people who elect other who have our vote is to tease the truth out of our candidates. Ask them, hey, are you just going to tell me what I want to hear? Now, I have to tell you that if you are a candidate and you're thinking about that, and you're just going to tell listeners what they want to hear, that, I'm a conservative, this and that and the other, and then you're going to vote for Democrat bills, well, that will only work for one term. I think people have figured this out in the Republican Party, or at least the grassroots Republicans, that no, you're not going to just fool us for year after year after year after year. You can't do it. You can do it for one time, and then we pretty much know that you're an agenda-based Republican. And that's why I'm against some of the former Republican reps say. We just need to have more Republicans. There's no point in having more Republicans if Republicans are just there not to fight for something, but just to go along and vote for Democrat bills. And that's just kind of how I see this. And they're still coming up, and there's and the agenda, of course, is very when I talk about the agenda, I'm talking about the lobbies that that like to buy our politicians. Remember, they were trying to do this in our, you know, in our primary, which never really happened before. This is how desperate everybody is to make sure that there's a lot of go along to get along, and that they don't want any conservatives actually causing any trouble and breaking things. Breaking things means not means calling out Democratic bills for being bad Democratic bills. You know, that kind of thing. That's breaking things if you're an agenda-based Republican. So, anyway, our job is going to be to tease the truth out. And if we do have agenda-based Republicans, I have to say, you know, we have to hold you accountable, and we're going to primary your butt next time around if all you're going to do is help out Democrats pass bills, because you're not going to get Republican bills passed. You just can't in the state of Oregon. You just can't. And you can certainly try your best in committee, if you're in committee, to make a bad bill a little bit better. But then don't vote for it, because it's still mostly a Democrat bill. Because the Democrats always use the Republican votes. Well, look at our tampons in the boys' room bill. It's bipartisan. You see the problem? Yeah, I thought you would. This is the Bill Myers Show, 770-5633. I'll be right back. We'll talk about some of the other headlines.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Today, get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
The email of the day on the Bill Myers Show, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. See all they have to offer at centralpointfamilydentistry.com and call for an appointment. Dr. Steve Nelson and his staff are next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, just off Pine in Central Point.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon Magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon Magazine.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
624. Tom is in talent. Tom, how you doing, my friend? How are things today so far, huh?
Well, looks like a beautiful day shaping up here, but yeah, you know, you were talking about going along to get along. That's always been my concern about Congressman Bentz, and he certainly did it this time around with voting for sending more billions of dollars to Ukraine, and then he signed on to the automatic conscription bill. I mean, involuntary, it's slavery, involuntary military slavery.
Yeah, this was the, this was the one. Now, the Democrats put that into the NDAA. It's kind of considered that that must-pass, what was it, $900 billion, $1 trillion bill, whatever it is. It's an insane amount of money, including military and everything else. It's kind of like you take it or leave it. And, yeah, it's kind of disturbing, but here is the part about that. I wonder if what happens here, Tom, is that the Democrats will put something nutty, let's say, in the NDAA, which is what that was last week about the conscription and also signing up women for the draft. But there's also the knowledge that the Senate will strip that out. That's kind of the way that is. I think the conventional wisdom is that that sort of stuff gets stripped out and then a Senate version comes back without that. I believe that's how, I think that's what the wisdom is, or the conventional wisdom of thinking is, on that kind of bill.
I certainly hope so, because I really want to have a congressman that, you know, knows what's going on and can, you know, do the best he can with the system that exists. But also, I'd like to see someone with more of a leadership where they say, well, things aren't going away, but this is what we could do to change the direction of the ship. And, you know, Trump is that way. He, I must say that, you know, like the border, he was told that, you know, nothing could be done and that we were oil deficient and so forth. Well, he just changed the direction of everything. He changed the direction of the ship. So we need people who don't just look around and say, let's adapt as best as we can to circumstance. No, we need somebody who gets out there and changes the circumstances.
Well, I don't know how much of that when you're a House member, when you're one House member of 425. It's like anything else, you have to get a number of other people to go along with you to be able to move the needle here. You think it's hard to get a Republican bill passed in the state legislature with Democrat control in Oregon? It's not. Well, I mean, yeah, you have essentially one or two vote majority there in the House. It's essentially deadlocked right now. Both sides get bad stuff. Okay,
Another topic.
Oh, by the way, before you go off on another topic, though. Congressman Benz is going to check in tomorrow. Maybe we talk with him a little bit about this, okay?
Oh, great. That sounds good.
Yeah, he's going to join me about 7:10 or so tomorrow, I believe.
Good. Okay. Good. Yeah, I'd like to hear, you know, I've met him a couple times. He's definitely a nice guy, reasonable guy, and so forth. But I want to make sure some of these core principles are up front and center.
The other thing I wanted to make sure that people understand, and I don't know if they realize this, is that usually when you're a congressman, you end up spending a lot of your time focused on your particular wheelhouse, so to speak, you know, the committees that you're on. And in Benz's case, it has to do with natural resources, you know, the water, the dam, the mining, you know, all those kind of things. That tends, given that his, you know, that's his area of expertise, having been a water lawyer, water attorney, and understanding that stuff, that's where he spends a lot of his time. And so some of the things that we'll hear about, like a Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're on different committees. And so they get focused in different ways. And sometimes we forget that. I'm not giving any excuses, but I'm saying they do kind of break the work up in the various committees, because not everybody can pay attention to absolutely every issue at all times, to be fair about it all. There's just too much going on.
Yeah. Gotcha. I just wondered how the Republican thing went this weekend. I didn't make it to it. In fact, I chose not to go to it because it's so damn frustrating to be around people who don't understand what's in the world's going on in this country. We're basically at war, but it's a different kind of war. And Republicans have been very, very slow to realize it. I mean, I look at the Democrats, they're 99% communists now, but I would say a good portion, maybe even most Republicans are of that mindset too, and they don't realize what's going on. And I don't know, I get around Republicans that are just way behind a curve of understanding that this is not hyperbole that we're at war. We got open borders. We have these disease processes going on. We're bankrupt. I mean, this is all...
And essentially the culture war too. Well, I received a few. I didn't go to Make Oregon Great myself because I guess I can say this afterwards now that it's over. I mean, a lot of people get. I don't know what the attendance was. It didn't look. I doubt that it was probably as much as they would have wanted to have attended to see this. I think, though, that one of the challenges that it has is if you call it Make Oregon Great Again, you know, that if you're going to go with MOGA, and I like the name, it's catchy, you know, that sort of thing.
MOGA.
But, you know, it's like listening to Mike Lindell, as an example, talk, who I think is a very interesting guy. I met him on Friday at the Republican VIP deal, and seems like, you know, a decent guy or something. But it's like, it's one thing you say, make Oregon great, and then we're talking about all these people, and then you have all these people who have been screwed over by the system, you know, here. And it's almost like there's make Oregon great. It's like the name of it and the lineup of people, I think, that were in it didn't necessarily jibe, you know, the theme.
Well, the main thing that you know me, I think the money situation is really the unlimited money is what gives the government unlimited power, bypass the Constitution, all the limitations.
Yeah.
And I didn't see, and I think that's key, and I think that's crucial, and I didn't see any indication they were going to talk about that.
So, well, you have to understand that, you can talk about money all you want right now, Tom, but I'll continue to tell you that the Federal Reserve is not on the ballot. Would you agree?
It should be.
I know it should be. It should be. Yeah. There are a lot of things that should be on a ballot, but they aren't.
But yet the thing about it is you need to start talking about it and start understanding. That was a discovery for me.
I know. Well, how many years has Ron Paul been talking about this, though? How many years? 30? 40? Yeah?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about it is that was what I was really puzzled by talking with, you know, regular Republicans. I was mystified. Why in the hell aren't they talking about abolishing the Fed, abolishing the income tax? And I realized after, they really don't get it. They really, really don't get it. They're just behind the curve. They just accept things the way they are, and there's nothing that can be done about it.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of inertia involved here, right? You know, it's the system that it's the only system that we've known our entire lives has been, the fact that you have essentially a private bank cabal control that issue our currency.
Like it's like the fish have no word for water.
Exactly. Same sort of thing. I appreciate you going there, but I think most people are not where you are, though.
I know that. And so they go to a convention like that, and it's everybody talking about symptoms of a problem without talking about the core problem. That's why I bailed out.
And that's an interesting statement. I think it's a great way to wrap that. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right. It is 6:33. Steve Malloy will join me here in just a few minutes. And he's always out there blasting the doom and gloomer on the climate world. Yes, I know it's never been hotter. It's never been colder. It's never been drier. It's never been wetter. It's never been snowier. It's never been just barren. You know, whatever the weather is at any time, it's never been worse than it is right now. And he kind of blows that up coming up.
Boise Cascade is hosting a hiring event this Thursday from noon to 4 p.m. in White City. Various full and part-time positions are open from entry level up to electricians and millwrights. You'll have an interview with a friendly manager and many will get a tentative job offer before you leave. Wages start at $21.50 an hour for entry level plus plentiful opportunity for advancement and pay increases. The event is Thursday, noon to 4 at 1155 Antelope Road in White City. Build your future at Boise Cascade. Boise Cascade is an equal opportunity employer.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. Timber Tech Decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. Timber Tech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber Timber Tech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Fire crews are still holding the Upper Applegate fire at approximately 500 acres, according to the ODF Southwest Oregon District, despite dry and windy conditions. Sunday, crews dug a line around the fire. The area has since been relined, and resources are working to strengthen the area. More than 300 personnel are assigned to the fire. The Grants Pass Police Department received a report of sex abuse involving a patient and employee at a local nursing home. Detectives determined the suspect to be Michael Anthony Lee of Medford. Lee was a care home certified nursing assistant in Grants Pass in Medford over the last 3 years and allegedly targeted both male and female seniors for sexual assault. He's been arrested and is facing a number of sex crimes charges. Oregon firefighters are in New Mexico helping fight wildfires there. Both states have mutual aid agreements. Oregon's fire season is late this year, so crews are available. They'll be working a variety of wildland firefighting tasks. Bill London, KMED.
An intelligent solution is influenced by timing. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It is rebate season for Bryant cooling products. Don't swelter in extreme heat. Now is the time to replace your heat pump or air conditioner. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable all summer long. That means uninterrupted air conditioning throughout the hottest days of summer. Call Advanced Air for intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Online at myadvancedair.com.
Save with factory rebates on high-efficiency air conditioners. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Catch the Medford Rogues in action all this week at Harry and David Field. The Rogues enter Pacific Empire League play at home as they host the Healdsburg Packers for three games Monday through Wednesday. Then Thursday through Saturday, the Fresno A's come calling for a three-game set. Buy tickets online at MedfordRogues.com or call the box office and pick up. Box office opens at 5:45. Take the family out to the old ballpark as the competition heats up at Harry and David Field. Visit MedfordRogues.com for schedules, tickets, and nightly promotions and events.
We've heard it all.
That electric gate has a mind of its own.
My backup camera needs to beep sooner and louder.
Since when is there a stop sign at that intersection?
Then Max jumped in my lap and, well, you see the results.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMET.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has never been hotter. In the winter, it has never been colder, nor has it ever been snowier, nor has there ever been a lack of snow. In the spring, it has never been rainier, it's never been drier. It's never been hotter. It's never been colder. It's just, it's never been worse than it is right now. If you listen to national news when it comes to do anything with weather and or climate. And Steve Malloy understands this quite deeply. He's a senior Energy and Environment Legal Institute fellow, former Trump EPA team member, and of course, founder of junkscience.com. He's all over X. Steve, you're probably hiding. Probably hiding here with one of those little Wile E. Coyote's little umbrellas holding you up over your head to keep the boulder from smacking you. Hey, what are you thinking this morning, sir, about all this?
Oh,
it's never been worse, has it? Never been worse.
Bill, thanks for having me. No, it's never been worse. We've never had weather before. It's really crazy. You know, I spent all week shooting down these claimed heat wave records. You know, it's not even really that hot. I mean, on the East Coast, it's like, you know, most of the week was barely in the 90s. And you know, that's not even close to record hot. And when you consider, you know, for example, in New York Times was sweating about it being in the low 90s. Well, in 1888, which was, you know, 136 years ago or something like that, it was, you know, in the upper 90s. And that was a lot less CO2 ago, a lot less urban heat island effect. I mean, none of these records, there had been no records set, really. Maybe some calendar day records here and there, but it's always been hotter before in the month. So it's got nothing to do with emissions, and that really sort of shoots down the whole narrative. And then there's the fact that, you know, EPA has got this graph of heat wave frequency and intensity, and you can see that over the past 90 years, the intensity and frequency of heat waves has declined dramatically. I've got this on my X feed. There's this huge spike in the 20s and 30s, and then it just falls off like a rock.
Is there any evidence that that sunspots and various cosmic ray issues have a role to play? I was reading some paper, some scientist was talking about that. Do you buy that as the fellow over at E&E?
I don't know that there's more solar activity per se. What there might be is less clouds and cleaner air. 2-3 weeks ago, there was a study that came out in the journal Nature that reported 80% of the warming spike of the past year has been caused by cleaner air, you know, fewer clouds, fewer aerosol particles reflecting sunlight back. So there might be more sunlight reaching the Earth, and that might be warming the oceans and, you know, the atmosphere. But it's not emissions. And the interesting thing is the media has completely ignored this study, even though it was published in Nature, which is a prestigious journal.
Huh. Okay. Well, it doesn't say the right thing, according to
right. Right. So it's not more solar activity. It's just more sunlight hitting the Earth.
Okay. Well, and that would mean that less cloud cover, I guess, right?
Yeah. So okay. And so this is something that people experience all the time. You're outside, you know, the sun is on you and it's hot, and then all of a sudden the cloud comes by and it's cooler, and that's what's happening.
Mm. You know, when you're talking about less cloud cover, though, we have people like Bill Gates now who want to just spray. Now, of course, a lot of people have been saying we've already been doing a lot of geoengineering for years and years and years and not wanting to admit it. But now we have billionaires that want to intentionally spray stuff into the sky in order to, I guess, create a haze or a cloud or to block some of the sun's heat from getting here, right? Isn't that the story?
Well, yeah. So first I want to say, well, this is an admission on their part that it's really the sun that is controlling things.
Ah.
Second, you know, so we've been, yes, we have been kind of been doing geoengineering accidentally. All our emissions, you know, a lot of them have reflected sun back into space. And that, you know, seems to have been fine. Now we're clearing the air and we're allowing more sunlight in, and people are all upset. So Bill Gates now wants to purposely block out the sun. Well, of course, who trusts the government to blot out the sun? Right.
Well, I would say who trusts Bill Gates with much of anything is what it's what I like to say.
I mean, so Bill Gates would be interested in doing it. Joe Biden would be interested in doing it. The Chinese would be interested. I mean, who trusts any of these people to do anything?
You know, it's interesting. Right? You were talking about how the air got cleaned up. I can concur with you. I think about what it was like. Now, I don't know if I ever told you this, Steve. Steve Malloy with me once again. He's the senior Energy and Environmental Legal Institute fellow, former Trump EPA team member. I grew up in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania era during the steel mill era. We still had steel mills, we had coke mills, we had you'd see the acrid smoke coming out of the plants, and the flares would be burning off of the stacks and in the coke plant, you know, all sorts of things. It was real pollution, frankly. Real pollution. Your cars ended up being destroyed by the sulfur dioxide that would end up coming out of this, and then it would rain, and then it would destroy your paint. Everybody knew that's what happened. That's the way this worked. But the one thing about that, though, is that you had more cloud cover, I'll bet, in those days because of that. I'm not advocating for pollution, right? But that was the side effect. You were probably a little cooler overall in some ways with the weather, weren't you?
Well, why aren't you advocating for pollution? Bill Gates is.
His is official pollution. His would be government sponsored pollution, and if it's government sponsored, Steve, it must be good. You know that, okay?
So his idea of pollution is the same as what was happening in Pittsburgh. It's all these the sulfur dioxide aerosols were reflecting sunlight back into space, and Bill Gates wants to do the same thing, just in a more controlled way. Of course, it's not going to be controlled because you can't control this stuff. The whole thing is just crazy.
Well, what do we have to worry about? Because I read last week that Mount St. Helens out here on the West Coast is recharging and will end up blowing again at some point. And well, so won't that be the equivalent? That'll cool the planet for a while if it goes.
Yes. Yeah. So, 30 years ago, 1991, Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines blew up and cooled the Earth for a couple years. Let's admit that this weather is not so bad. It's not something we can't live with. I mean, we are thriving. We're going to have record agricultural production. The Earth is greener than ever before. I'm not quite sure what people are complaining about. We have, if it's too hot outside for you, we have air conditioning, as long as we have a power grid.
I guess, maybe they're thinking, though, if we're really going to be proper humans and if the Earth were at a proper temperature, Steve Malloy, that we wouldn't need air conditioning. And air conditioning is bad. Anything which helps humans live is bad. You know that. It's supposed to be the hair shirt. Where are you?
You know, they had heat waves before the proper temperature, whatever that is, right? And, of course, then they get to be quite deadly because there's no way to cool off if you're, you know, vulnerable to heat waves. So, look, this whole climate thing is crazy. Even if it is warmer, there's no evidence that it's emissions. It could very well be the cleaner air. And I'm not willing to go communist until people figure this out.
And we shouldn't necessarily be okay with going back to dirty air in order to adjust the climate of the planet, right?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, look, when you were in Pittsburgh in the
1960s, 70s, yeah.
right. Okay, there was a lot more than just sulfur dioxide coming out of those plants. It was a whole, you know, it was a whole different environment than we have now. We have tight controls on all these plants. This stuff doesn't happen anymore. You know, even in China, the air, even though where they have virtually no air pollution regulations, they do control the sulfur that comes out of their coal plants. And so it's always very safe. So that's why, you know, even in the worst Chinese air, no one's health is suffering because it was the sulfur dioxide in the air that was bad.
Yeah, and that's what they were having trouble getting a hold of back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s,
yeah.
You know, back
yeah.
when my kids and yeah. my relatives were kids, when I was a kid, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, absolutely right. So like in 1948 in Denora, Pennsylvania, there was a temperature inversion, you know, it was like darkness at noon.
Yeah.
But they forgot to turn off one of the industrial plants, which emitted some acidic gas into the air and it wound up killing 20 people. You know, that's really the only, that's the most severe case of, you know, air pollution that's ever hit the United States, and it's in part because of this natural air inversion.
In other words, what you're claiming, Steve, and what you're making sure people want to understand is that just relax, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Just, you know, get a cool drink, maybe turn the fan on and the air conditioning if it's warm around you.
You know, there's lots of other things to worry about. Right, we got open borders, we got an election, we've got an economy to worry about. The weather is the least of our worries.
Yeah, and this idea that we're going to intentionally cool the planet, boy, you know, if I look back at the history of the planet, not that I'm a great geologist of any sort of study, but I'll talk with Gregory Wrightstone and others who are geologists, you know, on these sort of issues.
Yep.
And you look back at the history of the planet, and that every time it's been warm, people overall live better, and when it gets cold, it's not so good in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, look, it's been warming for 350 years. We have gone from less than a billion people on the planet, you know, in the early 1800s to 8 billion now. Who can say that warming has been bad or emissions have been bad? This is just crazy talk.
Maybe it's Malthusian types that really don't like that 8 billion people. And they just want it to be back to a billion.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's the political part of the climate agenda, right? The people that want to control us and want to get rid of a lot of us. That's why they're attacking our energy supply and our food supply. If you're going to have totalitarianism, it's a lot easier to control 2 billion people than 8 billion people.
Yeah, good point. Steve Malloy, once again, senior E&E Legal Institute fellow, former Trump EPA team member. You are all over X. By the way, does Greta Thunberg follow you on X? I'm curious. Is she not?
No, I think she's off. She's left climate now. She's into Hamas. So.
Oh, is that what she's into? Seriously? Wouldn't surprise me. You know,
yeah, no, she's constantly wearing the, you know, keffiyeh and attending all these pro-Hamas, you know, chanting from the river to the sea. So.
Oh, how dare her. Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, is the best place to go to get everything, Steve Malloy, over at E&E, or should we just go to X? Or how would you suggest?
Well, you
Junk Science?
Go on X at Junk Science. Or my website is at junkscience.com.
All right. Well, thanks for calming us down.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
All right.
Anytime.
Take
Thank
care, Steve. Steve Malloy, once again. It's 11 before 7. Yes, we know it's never been worse. It's never been worse. Just relax, okay? This is the Bill Meyer Show. If you're turning 65 soon and need to learn about Medicare and your options for supplemental coverage, Lynn at Sky Park Insurance can help. Just ask Karen.
Hi. I spent 45 plus years in the health industry, so I wanted someone with expert knowledge. Lynn either knew the answer or got right back to me with details. She went the extra mile. Thanks, Lynn.
Sky Park makes Medicare enrollment easy. Enroll or review your plan with Lynn Barton at Sky Park Insurance. Call 541-499-0958.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians, and recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one, contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step two, create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step three, gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/prepare now to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
1063 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Wendy Roberts, one of the people behind Mocha. She called up, wanted to talk a little bit about what happened. Why don't you tell us how it went on Saturday? Because people told me that the speakers were quite good. Quite good here, Wendy. How you doing? Oh, might help, Wendy, if I brought you on. There we go. How you doing, Wendy?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm exhausted because there were only three of us putting this on. I had I called in to the DCRP chair, and I said, I understand you're putting this together. How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing a lot of tasks. And thank God there were at least three of us, because there aren't a lot of people stepping up to do things like this. And I hear a lot of people complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And when you complain, you have no right to complain if you can't be a part of something, if you can't be a part of a solution. And there were people that came in, and everyone, I think it's like a little who at Whoville,
mm-hmm.
everyone did something that, no matter how small or how big, it all works for the greater good. We had people coming in and just helping put chairs together. We had people coming in and they went grocery shopping for us. And
I absolutely agree with you. There were people that did yeoman work in order to pull that off. How did it actually come off, though, you know, in your view? What was it like?
I think it was absolutely fantastic.
You did.
We couldn't get the word out fast enough, and everyone that we got it to, generally, if they could be there, they would. People loved it. The speakers were phenomenal, and they were very approachable. I saw a lot of individual conversations with people talking to the speakers. They were Mike Lindell. I talked to him quite a few times. I went and got his coffee. And, you know, it wasn't that anyone was starstruck, but they really wanted to voice what they had thought about, and the speakers voiced right back. And there was I think it was a pretty significant turnout. I guess you can say the people that step up were there. Everyone could have come in. The prices were very reasonable, $37 for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, I think it had a few things. I think there were a few challenges for it, though. First off, is that I think it was relatively, you know, it was probably something that we should have been talking about several months ago, you know, ago, rather than then. You know, one of the challenges I've always found here when it comes to events is that I don't tend to do them in the middle of the summer or even in the beginning of the summer right now, because people kind of get off into stupid season. It's even that way in talk radio. School gets out, and people are hungry to go do other things. But I don't know. I think that some people were writing me saying that the attendance was not what they would have hoped. Right, that's what they were telling me. Would you agree with that? Attendance was not what.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yes. All right.
Definitely, we could have had more, and of course the sales from the more would have helped, especially with more events. We all put in a lot of our own money.
Oh, I know you did. And I know you did. I know, though, that I was concerned about this, because I look at this and I just, you know, I put on events here from time to time. And, you know, the one time I would probably would not do a rally would be June. You know, I could think June, July. Yeah, I don't know. People are just sort of they're checked out on political stuff a lot of times till about September, you know.
Yeah, it was a hard month to do it, but we kind of just wanted to kick something off and get this party started. We want to do more. We want to do it in different ways. So if people want to be a part of it or even have ideas, because what we're trying to do is create excitement and unity. The Democrats have a lot of unity. everyone's stepping up and doing their thing because they're...
Well, they have a lot of unity right now. You know, they have a lot of unity, Wendy, the appearance of unity because they're running everything. Okay, you know, it's pretty easy to have that. There's nothing that they really have to strive for to the same extent. Like, okay, how much more communism can we inject down Southern Oregon's gullet? You know, that kind of thing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's just it. But I just know that the people that were writing me over the weekend, they said they were kind of surprised that it was thin. They were, you know, disappointed on that part of it. But I imagine you were too. Because you did a lot of work on that, and I have to doff my hat for you. But
it was well worth it. The people that stepped up were amazing. We're all that much closer. We're meeting mm-hmm. on Tuesday to kind of bat things back and forth and figure out what went well, what we can do again. And as far as the MOGA goes, I think MOGA in general probably kept some people away because they associate that with Trump. But we did need a catchy name.
Yeah, except that, you know, and this is something where even me being a Trump supporter, mm-hmm. you know, although I will criticize him, too. I see the good. I see the bad with former President Trump. Not every Republican is a fan of President Trump. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Well, and also it's amazing how much they don't know because you know, he loves America so much. I've never seen a president that loved America mm-hmm. so much and put everything he had into it. And if people could just see that and stop watching the censored news, some people call it communist. I call it censored because they're not getting all the information. And they demonize Trump. And they don't really have an understanding or an idea of what this man has done and what he wants to do. And, you know, I'm going on that segment for three sentences. I had really successful businesses in California. I lost everything during the Obama realm. I gave it back and then some during the Trump realm. And I, as you know, personally, my story, I almost lost everything I've had during.
Oh, you worked your tail off because the former governor ends up essentially making it impossible for you to get rid of dirtbag renters in your property.
Oh, yeah.
Just insane. You almost lost it all. You almost lost it all. I know.
Yeah. And then we lost our jobs. There was a time that happened during COVID that was utterly ridiculous. And now if they stop watching censored news, they would see that it's all been a farce. And I always tell them, look and see what your enemies are doing, because if you look at the opposite news and watch what your enemies are doing, mm-hmm. you actually might gain some insight and question it. I have to tell you, we had a gentleman named Bob, Big Bob, came down from Portland. He said, I want to be a part of this. I want to help. So he came down and organized our truck train yesterday. I was exhausted. You can hear my voice. I'm totally exhausted. I said, I'm going. I've got to support this. I don't care about how tired I am. I can sleep another day. I went down in my car. There were four of us at first. I thought, oh, God, here we go. We had almost 30 cars in this Trump train. We went to Aspen. We drove around. We had a blast. Again, exchange numbers. There's unity. There's people doing something together, trying to create.
Yeah, like I said, we lose, and this is my opinion here. I mean, I know you didn't ask for my opinion, but I'll give it, Wendy. All right?
I love it.
Okay. Okay, you're not asking me.
Bring it on.
It's that President Trump, focusing on President Trump in Oregon is not going to help make Oregon great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand where I'm coming from here? The challenges that we have are not with President Trump. The challenges we have in Oregon are with our Oregonians. It's not Trump. And
it's our governor. That's our leadership.
Yeah, and it's our Republican leadership. It's many of our Republican candidates who go along to get along. And I believe that is where the thumb needs to be put on the scale here because, you know, Trump could be president tomorrow. And I assure you, Oregon will still be screwed up royally because of our situation that we're in, and I just feel a need to keep a sharp, laser-eyed focus on the Oregon challenge, And
but you know what's going to make the changes in that bill? Are people coming together. Where are you guys? Step up, come meet us, come talk, and just like Bill's doing, what's your insight? Let's get together, because the more of us that are in agreement or something and have insight and help, the two things that we got together, yeah, they were kind of more on the Trump side of that, because there is a movement going with that and a train going with that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, those are just excuses to get together. There are ways to communicate information.
Yeah, if you look at it that way. All right. Wendy, I appreciate it. I'm just a little short on time now, but I appreciate you weighing in, because people were asking, you know, how that went. And I'm glad that you, being part of it, checked in.
Had a blast.
Great effort. I'm glad you had a blast. And I think you're going to need to sleep for a week now. Okay?
Yeah, I will. Okay, y'all, step up. There's easy ways to get a hold of us, jcrp.com.
All right. Hey, thanks again. Yeah, I think it's, isn't it jcor.gop? Or is that?
Yes. See? What do I know?
Okay. No, I just want to make sure I give you, because I know you just changed the website here a little while ago. I just want to make sure people can find you. jcor.gop. Wendy Roberts, of course, one of the people at MOGA over the weekend. It's a couple minutes after 7, KMED and KCMD. Wait a minute. Even then, I'm playing an old tape there. KMED. And KBXG. There we go. Now I got it right.
Don't miss Colin Muckery and Brad Sherwood asking for trouble.